Yes. Yes, Cymru Radio. Yes. Radio Free Wales.
Yes. Hello and welcome to another edition of Radio Yes Cymru. We're on YouTube and also on podcast. So please follow us on either YouTube or podcast. And also follow and join Yes Cymru. We have a discussion at the moment about the Housing Justice Charter, which is a fairly new group set up by different organisations come together to try and get housing justice in Wales. So maybe you know someone, or you are someone who's having difficulty finding a house or a home to live in, maybe your children or your relatives as well. So joining me today are Catherine O'Neill and Robert Idris. I spoke to them maybe a year ago on this subject. There's an update now. They have a very important meeting coming up, a conference on the 18th of February. So look forward to hearing that. So starting you, Catherine, you're living in Aberdyfi, you're a musician and an activist and been active, obviously, in the Housing Justice Charter as well. Tell us briefly what the Housing Justice Charter is, for people who are not familiar, and maybe what the website is, if they want more information.
Okay, so the Housing Justice Charter was born out of a group of people who felt completely alone, completely alienated and completely without hope during lockdown, when we could see what was going on with Airbnbs springing up like mushrooms, people being evicted from their homes to have them flipped into Airbnbs. And I come from Aberdyfi, where, you know, we're getting towards 50% second homes and holiday homes. And I was seeing my community disappear in front of my eyes, literally. I was put in touch with some of the other members of the group through a mutual friend. We then got in touch with Rob, and our group grew, basically. It turned into kind of a group therapy thing, because it was seriously affecting our mental health, and still does to some degree. And we decided that we wanted to try and do something about it. So we'd seen that there were other charters, like Cymdeithas yr Iaith had the Celtic Housing Charter, and they've got their Deddf Eiddo as well. There was great points on there, and Plaid had great points, and Hawl I Fyw Adra had great points. So what we did, we got all these great points together and made a charter which combined them all, and we had 8 points eventually in the Housing Justice Charter, and we've turned into a campaigning group. But what our role is, we seem to bring other people together. We've had lovely big roundtable meetings with up to 9 other organisations, and we're bringing people together to work together, which I think is really important, because in the beginning, all these ideas seemed radical and sporadic, and now we've helped to form them into something cohesive, and now we're actually working directly with the Welsh Government, and they really like what we've all been doing together in all our separate organisations. So they've funded now Siarter Creadig Cartrefi to run a conference, although we don't like the term conference because it makes it sound boring and stuffy and full of all men in suits. That's not what it's going to be at all. It's actually going to be creating a creative vision for housing in Wales, and it's going to be co-produced. We have a professional company coming in to do that, to do the facilitation. So it's not just us running around with post-it notes. It's actually going to be properly facilitated and produced. And we're looking for everybody from complete grassroots, people that are just heartbroken, to people from the government, people working in the housing sector, to councillors. We want to bring everyone together, because that seems to be the role of Siarter, is to bring people together, and with an air of positivity as well. There's no point coming in with pitchforks and things like that. We know why we're here. We don't want to look backwards. We want to look forwards in a positive way. And there's never been an event like this before. No. And as I say, like, the word conference really is the wrong word. It makes it sound more boring than it's going to be. It's an amazing opportunity for us to take our ideas from all walks of life to the Welsh Government and say, you're struggling to deal with this, well, let us help you, and hopefully move forward with them together.
So Robert, you're also chair of Cymdeithas yr Iaith. You weren't last time we spoke, so chair of the Welsh Language Society, which has also had some radical policies on housing since the 1980s. And I remember the Lawson boom in the late 1980s and how that happened. Just if you could quickly tell the listeners who the other members are of the charter, and you know, what maybe this conference in Machynlleth on the 18th of February, it's in the Plas, it's a big place. There's only 100 spaces, so it's spaces going very quickly, understand. It is for free. There is lunch there as well, which is nice. There is such a thing as a free lunch. But, you know, if you are going to put your name down, please turn up. You know, otherwise, if you're not, you're sort of denying someone else a seat, isn't it? Because it basically is out of a premium. So, Rob, maybe if you could tell us who the other organizations are at the charter. Maybe something, let's say, half a dozen, 4 or 5 points you think you can take to the minister, Julie James, who you've already met, the housing minister in the Senedd, and things she could be implementing by the end of her tenure as housing minister in Wales. So, yeah, let's start with that.
Yes, as you pointed out, Charter is almost an enabling organisation of volunteers. And we've been fortunate enough that we could get 9 other organisations around the table with Minister Julie James back in September. And she then agreed that this conference meeting in Machynlleth would be a great idea, and Charter have actually done the arranging of it. 9 organisations are pretty much all grassroots, as well as Charter itself, Cymdeithas yr Iaith, of course, Dyfodol yr Iaith, Gorau Gymru, Acorn, Undod, Melin Drafod, Hawl i Fyw Adra, and Sail. So those are all grassroots. As Catherine says, other organisations which are perhaps more official and funded, such as Bevan Foundation and Shelter, we would like them involved, of course, and as well as housing professionals and so on. But the main point is that it's not a formal conference with an excess of PowerPoint presentations. It's an opportunity for people to say what bothers them in their particular sphere of activity in their particular area of Wales, present ideas, and from those ideas, you know, themes hopefully will emerge which are common to all, and that government will be able to implement. A report will be produced after the event, so that government will actually be able to say, well, this is what happened, this is what comes out of it, and you know, there are certain steps which we can think about. We would ask also that people who are not, if you like, specifically involved in any of these organizations but have some issue about the housing to please join us. They may have issues about being on the council waiting list. They may have issues about getting planning permission in the national park, whereas other people might not have such an issue. All these things are important. As far as outcomes are concerned, clearly we would wish for a fairly radical overhaul of the whole housing situation in Wales, because it is clearly not right that some people are unable to access housing, whether it's for ownership or renting, and that is often, of course, as a result of the economic quagmire they find themselves in, job wise, opportunity wise as well. So these things need to be addressed together. But in terms of housing itself, overhauling the planning system from, you know, from root to branch, really, and it has to look at everything, but always bearing in mind that it's the needs of the local community that has to be at the forefront of this. And it seems to me that the only way that can happen is if you have a specific housing market for Wales and its people, using the different levers which government can introduce and use. While we recognise that there are always delays and checks and balances when you introduce these things, let's remind ourselves, this is a problem that's been decades long. It's just flared up more recently, but it should have been sorted out decades ago, really.
Yes. And this is, before we go into my cynicism and some of the structural things. So, I mean, maybe if we just say maybe 3 or 4 things you think the government or Julie Jones could be implementing, you know, fairly easy. And I use the word fairly, you know, with inverted commas, because I know these things are quite complicated. You're going to local councils, you're going to councillors, there's a lot of other issues. So maybe 3 or 4 things you think should be implemented quite soon, Catherine or Robert?
Catherine can go ahead on this.
Well, the Welsh Government are already starting with their pilots, aren't they, in the Dwyfor area, I think it is.
So that's Penllyn.
Yeah, Penllyn way, yeah. I mean, they've already given councils the option to put their council tax up to 300%. Gwynedd are going for 150. I think they're the highest so far. the regulation of holiday lets is something that I personally think is so important. If you want to be a residential landlord, you have to go on a good landlord course. You have to have fire certificates, gas certificates, PAT testing. You don't need any of that for a holiday let. You can literally take a house and let it tomorrow. I mean, how is that fair? And it makes, if you had to do that for holiday lets as well, then it would certainly put people off and maybe push some of them into the residential letting. Okay, they'd earn less money per month, but actually, you know, if the amount of hassle was the same, then yeah, maybe yeah. some people, a lot of people doing holiday lets, because it is no hassle, you know, it's super easy to do. And also one of the things that I also think is so important coming from Abu Dhabi is if you want to change a house into an office or a shop, you need planning permission, yet you don't need to change of planning to turn it into a second home or a holiday let. Well, a holiday let is a business. So how is that any different? And why does that not require planning? I mean, to me, those are two no-brainers, really. Right. But I also, since I've been involved in this, have been inspired by people within the group and actually other people that I've met since about community projects as well. And we've now started a project to try and buy our post office and garage, which also has a flat for the community in Abu Dhabi. But I really think what I would love to see from the government is governments empowering local people to make the changes in our own community. Some might say it's not our job to do, it's the councils or it's the governments, but actually we know who needs housing. We know what amenities we need to safeguard in our communities, but we don't have the money. Yeah, and right. also we don't have the expertise, because a lot of us are volunteers. I'm a musician. I've been trying to write a business plan for 6 months. And finally, Dolan are helping us do that. And I've got somebody lovely doing it for me as we speak, because I don't know how to write a business plan. We need support and we need financial support from the government. Let us take some of the pressure off you. We know what we need. And those are all things that I would think would be, I'm not going to say easy, it's not my job to do it, but relatively achievable, I would think.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's the point. If people want to run a business, just, you know, so fine, this, but I mean, there are, business can go up and down. So if you're in a shop or you're running a business making widgets, then, you know, you have to work out that widget can go down in sales. And same as if you're owning properties, fine, but, you know, the government doesn't have to make sure that your business is always viable. Government, as in any government in any business industry, has other, you know, priorities as well. So, I mean, those couple of points you made, I think, actually, are very important. So they wouldn't totally stop someone, but I mean, there's a which needs to be addressed. Are there any other quick fixes? He says, Robert, you would add to that.
I think that we need to be looking at, you know, all the residential issues. For example, with renting, we shouldn't have, you know, no fault evictions, really. So far, at least, Welsh governments have been more encouraging to landlords than to their
tenants. Yeah, well, I've heard this from other people as well. And I know Acorn, who are with you, movement who looks after tenants. And, you know, you can have difficult tenants. So I do sympathise with landlords who are people who are just not, you know, are just abusing the positions as well. So they need to be defended in that respect. But I mean, I've heard other people say that the Welsh government is taking more side of the landlord, maybe because the landlord has more voice and more power.
I think that's really, Sean, one of the good things that will emerge from this conference at Machynlleth is that the voice of people other than the landlords will be heard more directly. Yeah. And I think that is something that would be healthy for democracy in Wales across the board and other topics as well, rather than moneyed pressure groups and lobbies have the ear and the time of ministers and bureaucrats. So, you know,
it is a question of power and money here, because, you know, many tenants, but by definition, they're not in the tenancy for a long time. They could be on very unstable jobs. They could be moving quite frequently. And they maybe, many of them by definition, have less money. And being less organised, and this is where something like Acorn is important, so that the government minister is hearing voices of other people, not just the landlords who are lobbying, and, you know, that's their right to do so as well, of course. But I mean, that balance has been lost. And, you know, I have to be a cynic here, Robert. I mean, we've had the Welsh Government now, devolution, for 25 years. Julie James's party has been in power for 25 years. They have done pretty well nothing. City council housing has not been sold. New councils are not being built. And I just don't know why. And the council housing associations, to me, they just make it's a money. It's just a business. They don't care who goes in. They have to follow the law, of course, and they're happy to build more houses and pile them with more people because it keeps their business model going. I'm not too convinced the men have the thoughts of the community in mind. I think they're thinking more of their business plan, and the more people they can house, the more brownie points they get. But maybe that's just me being unfair, but that's my experience, I have to say. So, I mean, are there any things they should be doing in terms of things like council housing? How does that work? And of course,
if we go back in time, Sean, as you know, though, I'm sure you're far too young to remember it.
No, so I do remember.
That you brought in the right to buy council houses, which was, of course, very popular, and yes, people get foot on the housing ladder. But the knock-on effect, of course, was that social housing was no longer being built.
Yeah.
And also, the government made it, if you like, almost much easier for councils if they transferred their assets to these housing associations, which have, since that started, increased in size and amalgamated what have you, so that they have become corporations in themselves, if you like, rather than being accountable to the local electorate, which the local council would be. So I would agree with the point you made there. If you look at housing in general, we need to be looking at what houses need to be built where, how we utilise the houses which are already present and vacant. They may be private housing, they may be surplus public assets, which should remain public assets. Because of the constraints councils find themselves in, it's almost invariably the case that, say, a school closes or whatever else is going, they may be nominally on offer to the local community for a relatively short period of time, where they an already demoralised local community is having to think about, oh, can we raise the cash? And of course, they probably can't in the few weeks that they have. So I think, as a point of principle, these assets should stay in public hands for benefits of our people, whether it's for housing or for another purpose. You know, it's a matter for the local debate. And crucial to that, as Catherine has pointed out, is that sufficient access to capital is required to make the best use of these things, really. And I think it's unfortunate that we have almost a defeatist attitude, that the council say, well, we haven't got any money because Cardiff won't give it to us. Cardiff have a defeatist attitude and say, well, we can't do anything because London won't give it to us, and so on. So of course we're aware of financial constraints, and we understand that people have to live within them. But really, it's about saying, well, actually, this cake is really ours. You know, why are we sort of thinking that we're maybe really lucky to have a few crumbs here and there, and actually the crumbs that are left, we're fighting amongst each other for them. You know, I think that's what we're looking at, really, isn't it? So in practical terms, you might have, say, in town centres, which have become, in many cases, unfortunately, closed shops, empty shops, and what have you. Those properties are there to be used for something. Yeah. You know, many could be used for housing, many could be used for all sorts of alternative uses. Whether we like it or not, that is the case. So we have to be imaginative in how we use empty properties. And we also have to have the tools available to, whether it's local government or local associations of people, to get hold of these assets and use them for the common good, if you like. Because at the end of the day, what you're talking about is retaining assets, which then, if they make money, they circulate it in the local economy, so that you're not exporting the profits, you know. And of course, the tourism industry is a prime example of exporting profits by and large. Not always, of course, because you have local businesses who, you know, run their own B&Bs and so on. But, you know, we have to get away from this mindset that we've had, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so let's go back to the issue of I know, Catherine, I think you rightly said, okay, we don't just look at the back, what's happened, let's look at what we should be doing. I think the point you raise about local communities and maybe local councils, you know, that I'm talking about community councils or the town council, the community council could be helping in buying assets. And over here in Aberystwyth, the town council has bought an old building in the centre of town with the intention of using it for some use, which is not quite the same as housing, of course, but it does point to a proactive act. Use, which is something the town council hasn't done ever, and certainly when I was in it in the 90s, and I didn't suggest either, so I'm as much to blame as anyone. I mean, are there any sort of things you think Julie, James could change, Catherine, which would make things like that easier, or which could maybe give a bit more plurality to the housing market, if you like?
Well, I'm actually on Aberdeen Community Council as well, so I've got to be careful what I say.
Yeah.
There are other councils in the area that are doing community-owned projects. The Glanravon pub in Pennell has just been purchased by the community, and it's their village council have run that project, so that's really great. The massive problem that we're having, there are council members from Abu Dhabi as well on Abu Dhabi Community Projects directors. The massive problem we have is that the property we're trying to buy is Abu Dhabi priced, and to get the capital to buy that, I mean, we're hoping to do community shares, but when there's a crisis, a cost of living crisis, how can you expect people to keep forking out for stuff?
Yeah.
We're about to do a project to raise money for a new playground. How can we ask for money for a post office, money for a playground, all coming from our community when we're struggling to pay our rent?
And you have less people living in that community 12 months a year.
There's a debate now, isn't there, about devolution of the Crown estate, because that's already happened in Scotland. If there could be a sustainable pot of money, for example, money that was created by the Crown Estate, if it came back to the people of Wales, that could go into a pot that could be invested. The money from that could then be taken and reinvested in our communities. And we don't expect handouts, you know, okay, if it's a loan, it's better than nothing. But the capital to make these things happen is what we're seriously lacking. You know, the heart is there. The willingness to volunteer. We're all people with jobs and families doing it in our spare time. You know, we just need more support, basically. We need professional support and we need financial assistance. And so I'd love to see the Welsh Government looking at creative ways of creating sustainable pots of money to reinvest into our communities to help us to help ourselves. I think that's something really important.
I mean, the other big issue with the conference, and you've got a hell of a job to try and get this all into one day. I admire you for that. I mean, you have situations like Abu Dhabi, which is a very picturesque village on the coast, about 20 miles north of Aberystwyth, where I live. Then you have maybe places like where you live, Robert, maybe some inland villages in Anglesey, which look quite nice, but actually it could be quite poor in terms of lack of jobs in that area. So, I mean, it looks nice in summer, but it's not necessarily have all amenities you would hope. But then, of course, you've got places then maybe in Cardiff or Swansea, which are totally different to the situation where maybe people are concerned about gentrification, or people are concerned that, you know, they can't afford houses in, let's say, Grangetown or Spot or something. I mean, maybe the big difference there, you can catch one or two bus stops down and the prices are cheaper in a way, which isn't the same, obviously, in rural areas, because hardly there are any buses to begin with in places like Abu Dhabi. So how do you bring those two very, well, many multi-diverse communities together then, Robert, in trying to get a cohesive package together for Minister Julie James? Or you just say, look, there are many, or maybe we want different answers for different parts of Wales, you know, the city and the rural area, and you know, maybe the valleys town, which has problems.
What we're seeing are different aspects of the same problem, really, which is access to decent housing wherever you are, whether it's rural in Powys, whether it's seaside resorts, whether it's in the valleys, whether it's in deprived areas in Cardiff. So at the end of the day, it comes down to access to the capital to control these things, I guess, doesn't it? It also comes down to the obsession of successive governments to encourage people, and you can see that it would appeal to lots of people, that to use property ownership as a means of wealth creation. Of course, the more properties you have, the wealthier you become, don't you really? But what that's caused is profit and wealth for the few and hardship for an increasing number of people. You know, and that proportion is growing really, because not only have we had increase in prices, all sorts of reasons, but we also had squeeze on jobs and on job security, all sorts of things since the recession and before that. So all of these things militated against all areas in Wales. So what I hope will emerge, conferences, you know, certain themes will appear which are common to different areas. And this hopefully will be captured in the report which is produced for the minister. I would also say, Sean, that it is something of a heroic effort to try to do something in one day. But it is seen as a step to sort of start the process, if you like, of reform of the housing system. And that it is only the start of a process, hopefully, of consulting with local people in their different communities in different ways. Because people will be well aware, if you're filling in an official consultation on the Welsh Government's website, then you need a handy handbook of jargon explanation to tell you what's going on. And you need somebody to say, well, this is how you reply. There are many people who never bother to look at them. There are many, in fact, probably a lot of the people who are most affected never get to even be aware of the thing or reply to them. So the job of government and people like ourselves is to go out and ask people, not to tell them this is what we think necessarily is good for you, but for you to say, look, what are the problems in your area? What are the practical issues which you face? You know, and housing will be pretty high on the top of many people's list. It will also include things like access to schools, public transport, etc., etc. So in terms of messages to the minister on this specific issue, it'll be a case of boiling it down probably to about four or five major points, I think. It's not for me necessarily to prejudge what will be.
I have three children. They're touring college at the moment, university. The other boy is in, is in sixth form. And I'm concerned about how can they afford a place to buy or to live, which is decent. And a rent, which is so high. So it's a concern for me. So I do hope a lot of people who are now probably my age or older than I am, who do have children, maybe that focuses the concentration a bit more. I think, where exactly are your children going to be living? This is a problem because, maybe a lot of people who are in government or in positions, I'm not saying this is true of Julie James, but I think it has been true of other ministers, do have that extra money or that second home. And there's an issue here, especially maybe you're thinking about a lot of families. They may, certainly if you're in Ceredigion, having a property is the way to make money because the economy is quite weak. So if you do happen to have a home which your mother lived in, the farm, and you're renting it out, that's one way you're making money, because you're not going to make it from opening a shop in Tregaron or whatever. So, there's a structural issue there in terms of the weakness of the local economy in all these places, just something like Aberdyfi. Owning a property and renting out to something is the one way you can make money. So you can understand then why a lot of people do it. So, I think it's been very hard to ban that, and there are a lot of different issues how that happens. But I think the point you're making, Robert, is we some are trying to flip this and look into having homes rather than properties, isn't it? And that's what's happened in the last 40 years. Homes have become properties which you invest and sell, and then you expect the government to make sure that never makes a loss for you. And when it did make a loss in 1992 crash, the Tories went on to lose the election because that wasn't meant to happen. And I think we need to somehow get back to that houses that they are homes. Some people, I think, will always have a second because of some reason, someone's died in the family that they inherited or something like that. And I think it's very impossible. It's almost impossible to ban that. And I wouldn't want to go to banning that stuff. We want to make sure that there's a level playing field. And probably part, I think, the last 25 years, the Welsh government, run by Labour, they've been listening to lobbyists who have money, who are, the renters, rather than the people who don't, who are maybe tenant people who are not organised enough, maybe they don't have the the social capital, literally the capital, to invest and pay for lobbyists to do this thing. So it's a very good thing that Julie James at last is listening to you. I hope she does something, because they've done nothing for the last 25. Effectively, the new law with the holiday homes, I think, is a good step forward. But there are other things which I'm very glad to hear from Katrin, which are fairly straightforward. If you want to start a business, then it's fine. Start a bloody business, you know, like every other business has to do. If you want to start your own business or anything, then renting a house out should be a business. And you can make a loss and you can make a gain. It's fine. But you have to treat it as a business. Don't expect to have a free ride with it. And I think these are very important things. And I would hope, you know, people, and there's a danger if how many, the only way of making money is investing in property, isn't it? Because it's not very constructive, because you're not creating many jobs. So someone owning the home would always spend more on the house than someone who is renting, obviously. Time is getting quite tight. We have 5 minutes left. I mean, I've spoken too much, but I am cynical. Why, after 25 years of the so-called socialist government, well, zero council houses have been built. The other issue I've had, and I've seen, you come in and catch him.
I just wanted to point out that whilst I've been a member of the chapter, we've also had Eleanor Morgan and we've had Julie James. And Eleanor Morgan seemed to have a very different attitude to these issues. She was very concerned about the effects on tourism by regulating second homes and holiday lets. Julie James, one of the first things she said in the meeting with us was that she's from the Gower. Yes. And she doesn't see how her children will ever afford to live there, and that she was passionate about this subject. So I'm hoping that maybe after 25 years, she will be the change that we need. She seems like a very nice, very passionate lady. So fingers crossed to follow through on what obviously wants to do.
And also, Denmark, we've discussed this before in the Welsh language issue, Denmark, Switzerland, other countries, Channel Islands have very strict doors on who can own property. And, you know, but for Wales to do this, you know, it's getting the same kind of nonsense argument we've had. You can't have a tourism tax where you're pretty sure everyone's gone abroad ever has paid a tourist tax, you know, and these places are doing fine. I'm sorry, whatever, you know.
It's going to damage tourism. How? Sorry.
And, you know, this so bizarre argument that Wales is
everyone else does it.
Such a rubbish place that people won't pay £1 more to stay or something. But the same kind of thing, Robert Sutton or something, the Welsh issue.
Yeah.
There's almost a deference that tourism has created a culture in Wales where, you know, we're almost paying people to come here because we think so little of our own country and our culture.
We are suffering from a deficit of confidence in Wales. And cringe. And we have you know, we're investing in goodness knows how many caps that we could go like this. You know, we're having a king and the prince imposed them as without anybody asking for it. So really, we need to really sort of grow a pair, as they say, don't we, really? But in addition to that, we have to do more than protest. There's a place for protest and it has to be allowed, but there's a place for pressure and lobbying from the grassroots, which is what we're trying to do. We're trying to encourage the unheard to be heard.
Yes.
We're trying to, as you have eloquently put it, Sean, try to understand, well, actually, it's not just about us, my generation. You know, we will have no communities if we have no young people.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an example in the paper a couple of weeks ago with a village where a lot of NIMBYs had opposed every new development and in a different way, any new houses, and now the school's closed down and they're complaining that there are no young people in the village. Because literally no young people can afford to live there. And without a school, why would you move to that village to live in any case? So, I mean, there is an issue of balance here and having a balanced community where you can live and different people of different backgrounds and different social status as well and money. We're coming to the end of the conversation. I'm glad to catch you. You've made some, I think, quite clear points, which I hope the minister can take on board and start implementing. I think your point, it is a business. Well, it is a business then. I think your point, Robert, that we look at this, you know, it's not just properties. We're talking about housing and people's houses and homes. And that's the big change, which hasn't been turned on by the Welsh Government in 25 years of devolution. I don't know how, you know, that we are looking less on things as properties to invest and to sell on, but a ways of people to live. And then they raise their children, and they go to the local school, they go to the local rugby club or the football club. So these are the kind of things we really need to see. I'd be very interested to see what happens with the the conference. I think it is to be commended that Julie James has taken a step and helped you to have this conference. Hopefully it's more than just a show willing and nothing else will happen with it. So just to remind us then, so Catherine, it's on the 18th of February at the Place in Machynlleth, so centre of Wales. Foods for them for free. There'll be some music maybe, but if you are registered, please turn up. Otherwise, you're basically bed blocking someone else having a seat.
Also, can you try and register before the 1st of February? Because we need to give the caterers the numbers on the 1st of February.
So what's the website?
Don't delay, book today.
Yeah, and what's the website address, Catherine?
It's shadtarcatrevi.org. But if you Google Shadtarcatrevi, we pop up. We've got Facebook groups. We've got
And for people who maybe don't speak Welsh or not fluent, is that in English? What should they Google in English?
It's bilingual. It's the Housing Justice Charter. The event is going to be completely bilingual as well. It's going to be so much more than a conference. It's going to be workshopping. It's for people in suits and people in wellies. Yes. It's for everybody. There's free lunch. We're going to have a social in the evening with music. Just come. We're running short on spaces now. So if you want to come, just...
And we'll put a link in our details. And then, Robert, maybe from your point of view, the main things you want to get out from this conference are the main message.
The main message is that there is a groundswell of opinion from the grassroots, which is crying out for the housing crisis to be solved as soon as possible.
Yes. And that's across Wales, across different communities.
Across Wales, it's across the board, across social categories even.
And it is time that there is no point having a Welsh government and a Welsh Senate if we're not going to answer these basic things. This is literally why we campaigned for the Senate back in the 80s and 90s.
That's right. And you, Sean, along with the Yes Cymru podcast, be very welcome to come along and record a few talks at the conference if you're able to do so.
That's a good idea. I don't think I'll be about, but that's a very good idea. Maybe we can do something with that. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll keep in touch and see how it goes. And until the next time, Catherine O'Neill, Robert Itches from the Housing Justice Charter, Cartrefi Cymru, Paul Boyle, I will speak to you soon.
Diolch yn fawr.
Hwyl.
Yes. Yes. Yes Cymru Radio. Yes.